Hey y'all, sorry about that. Was having some trouble getting the meeting started. Welcome, welcome. It's one of those days. I apologize. I'm going to let you come in and let Coach Lisa raise her hand and get her up here with me. I see her hand. Okay, welcome. Well, thank you for your patience for that minute there. I am No BS Coach Julie. I am here to work with you on body image, sex, and relationships. Welcome. Coach Lisa is in the chat with you. I am going to open with sharing a little bit of something I want to talk to you about. And then when I'm done with that, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And if you are interested in being coached, you are welcome to raise your hand now or then, but let me talk to you for a minute first. So, Coach Lisa's in the chat. Make sure your chat is set to everyone so that we can all see your wisdom. If you have a question, you can put it in the Q&A and I will answer some, and Lisa will answer some. And obviously, we are focusing our attention today on body image and consent. Scent and sex, and anything associated with that. Your weight loss journey as it relates to your body image, you name it, we can talk about it. I am totally here for you. So, but I work one-on-one with members through the private coaching program. I do ask coaches. I get lots of questions in Facebook Messenger, and I also get questions inside of the email system when people email support. And a question that I've been getting a lot since our first call is about partnering and consent specifically. And so I'm going to tell you, I have a client that I got her permission to talk about this with you, but I have a client that I'm working with, and she had this idea that because her body wasn't, as she defined it, as ideal, she called herself fat, that somehow she owed the person she was dating sex the way he wanted it and when he wanted it. And she thought that he was compromising being with her, and that she was lucky that he chose her, even though her body was less than. And I'm really here to tell you that you have a right to consent, whatever you're having done to your body or whatever you're doing to someone else's body. And so I just want to talk about this for a minute or two, and then we're going to move into the coaching. So, this is true for dating. This is true when you're partnered. It's true when you're married. It's also true with yourself. And I'm going to talk about how that works. So, when you're giving consent in the context of sexual activity, it's a fundamental aspect of like respect and like healthy intimate relationships, offering consent. So, consent is a clear, I can't emphasize this enough, clear and enthusiastic agreement between all the parties involved to engage in sexual activity willingly and voluntarily. This isn't only when you're single and dating. This is casual partnering, one-night partnering, married partnering, self-partnering. So what do you think it means to give consent? It means to like give your approval or your agreement to something. So you give consent freely without coercion, pressure, manipulation, intimidation. It should be given voluntarily. It's a choice made with your clear mind, and this is really important. It's decided without influence of substances like drugs or alcohol or any sort of impairment. And that's important because you want to make that decision before you drink. If you're dating and you're at a bar, you want to have decided for yourself how you want to show up, and then you get to choose all along the way. So Consent should be enthusiastic and affirmative, but it's not merely the absence of a no. It's the presence of like a yes. And both partners should be actively communicating that willingness to engage in that activity. And even with yourself, if you're consenting to experiment with something with yourself, that means when you consent, you're not judging after that something you did was morally wrong or like embarrassment. It really means like agreeing to try it without that judgment. So also, consent isn't a one-time agreement. It should be ongoing through the encounter. So if at any point you are uncomfortable, you get to communicate that and you can change the situation. So you consent to one sexual activity and you don't like it, you can interrupt it at any point. Consent to one sexual activity, that does not imply consent for any other sexual activity. So these are great things to talk about when you're about to have any sort of sexual interaction with someone. But I want to be the most clear about this. Consent is revocable at any time, at any point during a sexual activity. If you are uncomfortable, no longer wish to continue, you have a right to withdraw your consent without judgment or repercussion, period. So I just want you to think about that. I've had quite a few questions about married partnering and feeling like needing to agree to sexual activity with the partner, with your husband, with your spouse, with your dating partner, and there's really no obligation. And if you're feeling that way, you definitely want to like use the tools you have, ask questions, get support and ask coaches or any way so that we can help you work through it so that you are really only consenting to the things you want to be doing. So, okay. If you are interested in being coached tonight, please raise your hand and Amanda, you will be first. Again, while Amanda's coming up, you can put questions inside the Q&A. You can ask things in the chat too. Coach Lisa is very experienced and has a lot of knowledge and we work together closely. Hi, Amanda. Can you hear?
Yes, I can hear.
All right. What are we working on to get today?
Okay. You're going to have to kind of excuse me because I'm literally hiding in my car at the moment because my kid and my husband are in the house and yeah. So this is the quietest spot that I could find. So I hope that you can hear me and see me okay. So, all right. Both me and my husband have super high stress jobs, extremely high stress jobs. And it does kind of take a damper on the sex life. It does. And I knew that coming into the relationship and I kind of accepted that and that, you know, I get it because of what he does. He is a 911 dispatcher. Mm-hmm. There are days that he comes home that he literally has heard somebody's last breath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's tough. And it's tough for me because I have to be there to support him.
Okay. Yes.
Both of us are also volunteer first responders.
Mm-hmm.
So, we are all either both gloriously stupid or gluttons for punishment or something. I don't know. He works 12-hour shifts because 911 does not close ever. So there's that. So in addition to that, my paid job is extremely stressful as well.
Mm-hmm.
So supporting one another in the intimate moments often doesn't include sex at all. It just doesn't. And I struggle with that a little bit. And it's almost like I judge myself, like, is that still okay? You know?
Yeah. What do you think? Is it okay?
I think it is, but I don't know.
How's it feel when you think it's okay that we support each other intimately, but it doesn't always lead to actual like sex, however you define that? How does that feel
Yeah.
in your body?
Well, like sometimes, like tonight, because of what his schedule is, and of course, depending on, you know, if he gets called in or anything like that, you know, working 12-hour days, that's enough right there. You know, he gets up at 4:30 in the morning, and then he's, that's enough. And of course, that also means that when his alarm goes off, well, I'm awake too.
I want you to take a deep
But
breath. Let's take a deep breath and come back to you, right?
yeah.
Like, how does it feel in your body when you are thinking that the two of you are supporting each other intimately? Does that feel good, right? I don't want to put words in your mouth. Tell
It
me how.
feels good that we're there to be there for each other in what we need.
Okay.
Because like tonight he's super tired and so am I. Like it's just this week has just been swamped. Both of us had training, nothing to do with paid jobs, but he had training with the fire department last night. We didn't get home until 9 o'clock. That was after working a full day. The only thing we wanted to do was just lay there and be there with each other, and that's it. And that was okay. And we needed that. And tonight it was, we texted each other and the through the out the day because both of us have been at work. And I'm like, what are we doing tonight? And he literally sent me little bed emojis, which is just his way of saying, I'm tired, I want to go to bed. I'm like, got it, understand.
So, Amanda, it
You
can
know, and
totally be
so we,
okay, right? It can be okay. The question is, do you want it to be different?
there are sometimes I want it to be different, and then sometimes I'm like, I think that I'm judging it against what I think it should be in this little box. I'm like, oh, but this is what it should look like. That's what it should look like.
What should it
But
look
I'm
like?
like,
Tell me. Tell me what it should look like. Just let's get it
but I'm
out there.
like, but I'm like, oh, it's supposed to be this little, you know, perfect Hollywood marriage kind of thing. But I'm like, but this is our situation. This is
What
what's
should
going
it
on with
be?
us.
Tell me what it should be. What do you think is right?
That the frequency should be more. That
Okay.
it's supposed to be like that.
Okay.
But that's
Who's,
not everybody, is it?
yeah, no. And who says you and your husband, right?
Right. Yeah. Don't we get to make our rules?
You 100% get to make your rules. And so, okay, but if you do sometimes, like you said, sometimes you're totally happy and sometimes you want more. So
Right.
we know that when you're totally happy with supporting each other with the intimacy that you create, you're satisfied. So that we can set us
Right.
up. Okay.
Yeah.
What about the times where you want it to be more? What do you want to do then?
I mean, both of us are very physical people, you know, when we have the energy to do that. And, you know, and so we do have good sex life when we have time and energy and all of that adds up, and it's fine, it's good. When it's good, it's good. Just
Well, so can you
but
plan
that's good.
ahead for that? Can you plan ahead for it at all? Like knowing when there's time off, knowing when someone's not having as hard of a day, right? I know you're texting and stuff. Like, can you plan ahead enough to create space for yourself?
Sometimes
Yeah.
with what's going on with with his work at the moment, he's been so, they are so super short staffed, which I know a lot of industries are right now, like globally across the country. Like I know a lot are. It's not just him, it's not just my job. A lot are. They're so short staffed. He had to last month literally work about 10 days in a row, 12-hour shifts, which are just exhausting. And I think he's still physically recovering from that still. That's a lot. And so
Let's focus on you. Right. Yes.
sometimes we can do that. And because of what I'm doing, my job is supposed to be Monday through Friday. Since about June, it's not been Monday through Friday. I'm pulling a lot of Saturdays. So it's been about 6 days out of the week most of the time and working sometimes later than he does, sometimes. And so both of us are working a lot of extra days, putting on a lot of extra stress. We're tired or and all of that. But we're trying our best to be a little bit more intentional about, okay, we have this day that there's nothing going on. Like
That's
last
perfect.
weekend, he has a motorcycle. We both, but like I'll hop on the back of it. We go riding every once in a while. We did that last weekend. We were able to do that. And it was just nice to be together. And that's all we did. My kid was with my mom because
Yeah.
she had fall break for school. And so we were together. And that was very nice. And so we're able to do that. And I think one of my biggest other hangups is that I have issues with my own body. I've lost a good bit of weight and I'm very proud of that.
Yeah.
And but I still look in the mirror and I'm like, ugh. Just like
Well,
a
let's stop there. That's part of it, right? Because
little.
when you're having desire, but you're thinking, ugh, when you're looking in the mirror, how likely when you're thinking, ugh, are you going to take action on planning ahead to act on that desire?
Yeah, and I know that, and I've talked to him about that. Like, I'm very open with him about how I feel about that. And he thinks that I'm the most beautiful thing in the world. And I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know what I did to deserve that at all. And I'm getting all sorry.
Why? Just take a breath for a minute. Hold on. Take a breath. Just, I want you to internalize what you just said. Like, you don't love how you look, but your
No, I
husband,
don't.
he loves how you look.
He
And
does.
just like give yourself some space to like receive that for a minute. Like,
Yeah.
okay.
And he's an amazing person, and he sees me not just the physical part of me. He sees me as a mom. He sees me as a hard worker. He sees me as the other things that I am. He sees that. And he sees all the qualities, not just the physical part of it. And that's just how he is. And our anniversary is tomorrow, and we're both working, and that kind of sucks. And I get to be mad about that. I'm just saying, like, I get to be pissed about that.
Here's what I want you
But
to do, though. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a breath and I want you to decide to borrow his belief that you are beautiful. All of you, body, momish, work, life, it doesn't matter. Borrow his belief and I want you to practice like every day on your planner, like. One thing you're grateful for, I'm learning how to believe I'm as beautiful as he believes I am.
And I know where it comes from. And it's very hard to like work through that. I know exactly where it comes from. It directly comes from previous relationships because I came out of a very abusive marriage that he was terrible. And I'm a victim of sexual assault, and that is terrible. And so I see everything that has happened to me, and I see all of the scars, and I see all of that that has happened to me. And he sees all that I have survived and all that I've come through. And,
So I'm sorry you've been through so much. And I'm really proud of you for stepping into this moment and like advocating for yourself and like committing to work on your body image. You know, we have journal prompts, Lisa. I didn't know we would need them, but if you'll go to the worksheet page and grab the link to the 30 days of journal prompts, there's some self-love and body image prompts in there. And I would love to see you use one.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be like an extensive, oh, look at my flowery writing type journaling. And this is the perfect type of thing that we're going to be working on at camp. Like the ability to journal effectively does not have to be flowery and beautiful and long and perfect.
And I am going to camp.
Oh, congratulations. So this would be a great thing to do some journal prompts on between now and camp so that you can work some more on it. But
Okay.
like borrow your husband's belief while you're learning to believe for yourself. And I want you to do those prompts. And my recommendation to you would be to stop in front of the mirror every day before you brush your teeth or at night before bed. Make eye contact with yourself and tell yourself one quality about you that you absolutely love. And one thing physically about you that you also love. And it doesn't matter if it's the same thing repeatedly for a while, but I want you to practice getting used to talking to yourself differently. Okay.
Okay.
All right,
Okay.
Amanda. It's so good to meet you.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. We'll see you real soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, Amanda, I really appreciate your vulnerability. Thank you so much for being so brave and speaking up. You are not alone here, I'm certain of it. Mary Catherine, you are being promoted now. And while Mary Catherine is coming up, this is a question in the Q&A for Lisa. It says, I asked a question about having a baby and I had to log off before I saw it. Can you resend the answer, Lisa? I didn't see the question, but I will let you answer it. So, okay, Mary Catherine.
Can you
Are you?
see me and hear me?
I can see you and hear you. Hi.
Hi. I'm so glad to get a chance to talk to you.
It's my honor to be here with you.
I have some similar stories to what you have. I had an automobile accident shortly after being married, and one of my legs has some issues. And my ex, when we would be having intercourse and sex, he would stop midway. And it's like, I don't want to hurt you. And I was like, I'm here. We can figure this out. But to stop, and this happened so many times that it made me feel unworthy, sort of, because I wasn't, he quote didn't want to hurt me, but there were some other things that were also involved that led me to believe it was not only that he didn't want to hurt me, but there was some underlying issues there. But it really made, and we're not together, but through most of our marriage, it made me not want to participate.
Tell me now, do you want to now for yourself?
I do. I'm thinking I do not have a partner now. After the last camp, when we had the toys, toy talks, and then the toy talk itself, I was like, you went and saw menopause. And they talked about the toys, and some about the toys, and why
I
not?
agree. Why not? But the real question is, do you want to?
There's a part of me that does. There's a part of me that's like, the money,
the cost of some of them. My adult daughter does live with me, and I have told her that I'm thinking about getting toys. And I told her, I said, if I die, when I, you know, and the toys are in the house, please hide the toys.
Well, so
Because I
tell
would.
me, like, if you imagine self-partnering, right? So that's you with yourself. What would be the benefits of doing that?
I think it would benefit in releasing a lot of pent-up frustrations.
Okay. So, like, physical and emotional release. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. What else? Can you imagine another benefit?
Not really. Those are the
Okay.
ones that I can imagine the most.
So those sound fantastic. I could also imagine that self-partnering opens the door to getting to know yourself and your body and your own pleasure and allows you to really connect with yourself. Would that maybe be possible?
Yeah, I think it might be a good thing because from that accident on, I have felt not in my body,
Oh, yeah.
because my body doesn't work the way I want my body to work. And
That's really
it's
interesting. Like,
disappointing.
tell me about that more. Why is it disappointing?
Well, it's walking is difficult, because the injury was in my knee. I have had another injury since on the other leg where the knee has been is not in good shape. And I just don't feel like I can move the way I want to move. And I'm getting ready to take a trip tomorrow where I'll be gone for for 9 days, 8 nights. And we're going to be doing some walking. And I have my mom's walker. She's passed. I have her walker and I'm taking it with me. It has a seat. So if my legs bother me, I feel like, okay, I can sit down and I can just move it with my feet type thing. But I feel like I don't get around as well as I could. And that has a lot to do with the weight being there.
Okay. So all of that sounds like one valid way to think about your body. Do you want to only see it from that perspective? Could you imagine there's other ways to think about your body as well? Like, if that didn't have to change, but you could include other ways to think about yourself, what else could be possible?
It goes back to so much of what he said to me was not being worthy. And I'm still working on getting that thought out of my head. I am worthy. I am amazing. I am kicking butt and taking names, but there's still that I have to get out of my head.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that because you were born worthy. You just are worthy. You don't have to do anything for it. It has nothing to do with your injury. And I love the idea that you're working on that for yourself, and you can work on that in pleasure as well, right? Partnering is great, but treating yourself the way you deserve to be treated and creating worthiness with and for yourself, by yourself, is also a gift. Getting to know your own body and your own pleasure and giving that to yourself can be really valuable. Like, self-partnering is a really important part of being a human being. It's not just about partnering and what one gets from someone else or gives to someone else. So, I also don't want to encourage you, like, Dr. Sonia has all the toys. And Coach Lisa and I both, like, we could put our collections together and we could do like a 10-hour class. But that you just need a couple, right, to experiment with. You don't have to like invest in every one of those things. You can just pick one or two. Like, it's great to start with one thing that makes vibration and maybe one thing that's more geared towards inside your body, and let yourself kind of experiment with like the position of your body and like how you like manipulate the toy and how you feel in general about touching your own body. So, to decide if you want to do this, my recommendation to you would be to, when you're in the shower, make sure that you have time in the shower with your soap on your own hands and no barriers. So, no washcloth. I mean, you can wash your body like however you normally would, but make time for your own body and your own hands to touch your own body. Now, this is not a pleasure-oriented, goal-centric task. The goal is to get to know your own body. If you want to feel pleasure and you do, that's great. I encourage that. But we're not doing that task in like the goal is not to have an outcome of an orgasm, for example. The goal is for you to feel sensations in your own body and allow yourself to feel sensations in your own hands and just get to know yourself on the most basic level. And see how it feels to touch yourself in that way and just experiment. Like, notice what happens in your brain, what happens in your body, what types of sensations do you have? Is it warm? Is it tingly? Is it like in a specific zone? Do you feel a connection in your body anywhere? And just allow yourself to experiment a little. To see if you like the idea of self-partnering. And then you could decide to order a toy or two, but you can do as many as you want. But in the meantime, allow yourself to have the pleasure. It's not more toys isn't better. The effective toys is the best. What say you? What do you think?
I think that's a good idea.
All right. That is your assignment. You can check back in with me in all the ways that you all can reach me and help scout, like email support at pmptribe.com. You can message me in Facebook. You can send a message to me, attention, and ask coaches. But I'm here for you. So if you find something comes up for you and you want to talk about it, I'm around. Obviously, I work one-on-one with members here on all of these things. I'd be happy to answer your questions and support you with whatever comes up for you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. I can't wait to hear how it goes. All right, I'll see you soon.
Right, bye.
Bye. Mary Catherine, thank you so much for your openness. I really appreciate it. Betty, you're up next. And I'm going to look at the Q&A while Betty's coming up. Valerie said, how do I not take it personally when my husband has ED while he's awake, but he can get a full erection while he's asleep? He also wants me to wear makeup every evening, but he said I can't wear it during the day at work. I don't want to go through all the work of full face makeup just for an hour. Okay, let's first start with the body. I am not a doctor. I'm sure there are doctors here. I can look up the science to give you the exact details, Valerie, if you want to email me or message me in Ask Coaches. But the sleeping erection has nothing to do with desire. It is physiological. And so he like cannot help that his body does the hormone thing in the night sometime and gets the full erection. It is part of how the male body functions. It is normal. And like so many men have that experience. And I can't emphasize enough how normal that is. Now, I totally understand about ED, and it is very common for partners to to have thoughts and feelings about the erectile dysfunction. Sometimes men blame their partner. Oftentimes women take very personally the experience of ED, but honestly, more often than not, it has nothing to do with the partner and everything to do with the makeup of the male's health, medication he takes, heart condition, you name it. There are a bunch of reasons. I would love to give you some resources that I have on this, Valerie. If you email support to my attention, I can attach a couple articles about this very subject. And I do have the consent from my partner to talk about this. My husband uses medication for this. He's a fair amount older than me. And over the course of his life, the functionality has changed a fair amount. And I have to tell you, like, I've thought a lot of things about this myself over the years, but fundamentally, his desire and how his body functions are like not aligned the same way that they used to be. And medically, the ED, you know what that function is, but as a human, he has a lot of connection and desire with and for me. And as you know, I talked about it at the last call, we do use some of the support medications, and we've turned that into a game. I'm willing to share it with you all. I am in full control over the erectile dysfunction drugs. And when I am in the mood, I drop it into my husband's pill container. He has multiple pills in there. And so oftentimes now he thinks he's had the drug and he hasn't had it. So he has the placebo effect. I've heard that this is not totally uncommon with men. And so there's times where he's very in the mood and he thinks I gave him the drug and I didn't. So I just want to encourage you to not take it personally, something like the function of someone's body. And I want to remind us all that with other health conditions, so oftentimes there's not that emotional component, that attraction piece that happens with sex and intimacy. And so we don't take someone's heart condition personally, or their stamina, or if they've had a stroke and how they speak or move their body. But there's something about sex that's so personal that causes us to personalize the function or lack thereof of our partner's body. And I just want you to remember that in this way, No BS has offered you skills that a lot of people in the world don't have. So Valerie, I know you have a lot of thoughts and feelings about your husband's bodily function, but I wonder what it would be like if you put some of those thoughts through the four ends. And then also just like to quickly touch on the makeup, Betty, you're being a trooper. Thank you for waiting. To touch on the makeup, you get to decide if you like how your husband responds to you wearing makeup and you want to do it, great. If you don't want to do it, I highly recommend just having a conversation about it and, you know, maybe be willing to do it once in a while, but you definitely don't have to do it all the time. So Betty, thank you again. I'm going to ask you to start your video and unmute. I appreciate your willingness to sit here while I answered that Q&A question. Very patient. Hi.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. What are you working on?
Okay. So I hope that my question falls in the category of what we're talking about tonight. So my question is about initiation. Mm-hmm. So my husband and I have been married for about 24 years, and he's always been the initiator. And I feel like when I initiate, I don't know, it feels weird. And usually I have to have alcohol and stuff. And I get really embarrassed when I initiate and he's like, I don't even know what it is, but it's like, I just feel embarrassed. Like, I want him to be the initiator, I guess. And so it's just having the conversation about that.
Well, tell me, let's just, like, what is it that you like about him initiating?
What I like about him initiating is that he desires me. And I think when I'm the, in, when I, oh, she just really want, like, look at me, like, she just really wants me. And I don't know, I feel weird about that.
Do you, well, first of all, is it a problem that he initiates mostly and that you like that he initiates?
No, that's what I want. And so, so I feel like, okay, so I mean, 24 years, we have two, we had two kids, they're adults now. And through the years, I have turned him down most of the time. So I think he's used to me turning him down. And so now I initiate. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. He just, I don't know that I want him to be the initiator. And I don't like to initiate and feel like I might be turned down. I don't know.
And that's then, really interesting. Like, the, I just want to observe and ask you. So you don't like it when you initiate and you might be turned down, but right. You want him to initiate and you want the right to turn him down, which you have the right, by the way. So,
mm-hmm.
But what do you think he might feel about initiating and being turned down most of the time, as you said?
Well, he's lived that for years. So, oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, what was the question again?
Do you think he might have any feelings? We're not coaching him, so we don't have to go too deep into it. But do you think he might feel something about initiating and being turned down?
Well, possibly, because he quit initiating as much, I suppose.
Yeah. So you initially said something about a potential conversation that you might have right. with him.
Right.
And that sounds really interesting. What would make you want to have a conversation? What would you want to say to him?
Well, you know, I'm perimenopause now, and I feel like I have more desire. And I don't know. It just feels weird. It's hard for me to do it. So,
well, let's like just talk about what that might look like. It's like okay. Insert husband's name here or partner's name or friend, you know, insert husband's name here. Like, hey, can we talk for a second? What do you think? Like you said, you've turned him down a bunch of times. Do you have any thoughts about that? Like,
do I have thoughts or do I think he has
thoughts? Do you?
I think through the years I had a reason to turn him down. Like mm-hmm. we had little kids and I was busy and I was tired and I get up earlier than he does.
So that's great, right? Like, I just want Betty, like, that's perfect. It's like saying, mm-hmm. without all the details, it's like saying, insert husband's name here. Let's talk about this, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I had many reasons that felt valid at the time to turn you down. And I bet that made you stop initiating some, but things have changed a lot. And I'm mm-hmm. more open now. And I want to, like, what I hear you saying, you tell me if I'm wrong. I hear you saying you're a little more open to saying yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great conversation. Like, I just want you to know that, you know, I'm much more interested in saying yes than no. And a lot of those reasons have faded away. And I actually really do like it when you initiate. And I could understand, like, why you might think that I don't.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then allow both sides of the conversation, right? We're talking about your side, but he's going to have things to say.
Right. Right.
Are you willing and open to hear whatever he says?
Yeah, he's reasonable. I just feel weird about it. I don't know.
Tell me, what's weird? You think what about it?
I don't know. He's always been the pursuer, and I've always not been. So, and then when I gained a ton of weight, I felt insecure about my appearance, and maybe he just doesn't want to have sex and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Is that true?
Probably not.
Yeah, but like maybe, probably not. You don't know.
Right.
On the other hand, you're not having sex and you want to. And you want to.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where a lot of my, like on my, the discovery sheets that I do, like, I don't know, like I'll, like we'll have like a date night, we'll have some wine and something like that, and then like if he doesn't initiate sex, I'm like, well, he doesn't even like he doesn't want to, and I never tell him that I want to, so it's I don't know, it's just hard for me to initiate and tell him, hey, come on. This old lady is ready, you know. So yeah.
I want you to think about it like this. You know, no BS when we're planning and we plan food we love, and over time, sometimes like Corinne's talked about, like leveling up food from good to better and better to best. And you know, over time, things change a little and you get more comfortable in better and best. And when you first start at no BS, you aren't sure, like good sounds perfect. You really don't want to level up food. This is kind of like that. It's like you being willing to have a conversation doesn't mean you're doing that every time. It doesn't mean you are now the initiator. It means you've leveled up this meal, this week, this day. And that doesn't, it's not precedent setting. You're still like, you get to be the people that you actually are. You don't have to change to be partnered with your husband. On the other hand, you've been a part of setting it up. So he's used to being told no, and then he slowed down how much he asks.
Right.
So he's not going to know any different unless you actually do something different. Like, how could he?
That's true. Right.
So one conversation or one initiation, one of anything, doesn't suddenly mean that your roles have flipped.
Okay. Okay.
You could do nothing. I just want to remind you, you can do nothing.
Right. Right.
Well, you're not happy with how it is.
Right. I'm getting older. Like,
I'm just saying it's okay for you to do nothing, but you're not satisfied with that. So,
right.
You know how Corinne talks about feeling feelings, and like there's the wave of feeling where it's like two hard minutes, five hard minutes, and then it kind of like rushes through you and comes out. It's like that. The first couple of minutes are going to be uncomfortable. But then when you're having more sex on the other side of it, you're going to be super comfortable.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you want to do? Like actually, in terms of action.
Action. Well, in order to like move forward, I'll have to have the conversation. It feels uncomfortable.
Have to have the conversation?
Right. I'll have to have it. Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
It does.
We're having the conversation right now, and it sounds terrible. You're capable. We're doing it right now.
We are.
In fact, you're pretty good at initiating. You raised your hand.
I did. I'm shocked. It's the first time I've ever raised my hand. But yeah, but you're Coach Julie, you coach on that.
I agree, but
That's
you're married to him. You've been together 24 years.
true. That's true.
I agree. This is totally a safe space. I
You're
couldn't agree more.
right.
And as a member, I felt safe here too. But I just want you to remember, like, you create your safety. This is something you really actually want.
Yes.
So often when we want something, not every moment of getting it is perfectly comfortable.
Right.
So, do you want it enough to go for it? Okay. I totally know you can do it.
Right.
And on the other side of it, is you getting the pleasure that you deserve, that you want, and the connection with your spouse that has been dwindling as you described it. So when are you going to do it? Let's create a plan here.
What time is it?
Where are you in the world?
What?
Where are you in the world?
Where am I in the world?
Yeah, like in my time, it's 6 p.m. almost.
Right. It's almost 8 p.m. here.
So you're going to do it tonight?
He's working on some electrical for me tonight. Yeah. So,
Boom, let's all right now,
Right.
everyone on this call still, like
Yeah.
send Benny all of our like loving, supportive,
He's
positive
doing a job
vibes.
for me right now. So,
Give her
yeah.
some love and emojis for this great conversation and the investment you're making in your own pleasure.
Thanks, Coach Julie.
You're welcome. You are worth it. I can't wait to hear how it goes.
I'll let you know.
Please do.
Thank
You have
you.
fun. Thank you. Bye now.
Bye.
All right, Kristen, you're going to be the last one tonight. Oh, I am excited to hear how that goes. All right, Kristen, ask you to unmute and start.
Unmute.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
Excellent. Can you hear me okay? Because the audio went to my phone audio and not my earpiece audio.
I can hear you fine.
Okay. So this is the first time I've been coached at all. So I'm pretty proud of myself.
That's amazing.
So I am 49, kind of, walking into potential menopause, perimenopause. While I enjoy sex, it has never been way up there on my list of must-haves. So my libido is not zero, but just not very high. My husband obviously has a higher libido and would like sex more often. And we've had a lot of conversations lately. I actually shared with him the call that Corinne, I think, was on Sunday. Very similar situation to what Sheldon and I have. And he was actually very responsive. I found a TikTok a few months ago that talked about it was like 30 reasons why to have sex other than I'm horny.
Yes.
So I could think my question is, do you have any suggestions about what I can do or say to convince him or to help him through the fact that I am willing to have sex when I am not always physically wanting it, right? I am happy to have sex with him because it's important to him. It's important to us in terms of intimacy. When we get started, I enjoy it, and he is a very giving lover, and we got no problems there. Like, he always takes care of me. But our struggle is more, I think, with he wants me to want it, because when I don't want it physically, when I don't have that physical desire, he feels like he's putting me out, or he's asking more than I should get. Like, do you understand what I'm saying?
100%. And so first, I just want to say to you that it's like so not uncommon at our age for this type of scenario. And the thing that you said that was the most interesting, that would be a great part of this conversation that you're going to have with him, is that you actually do get there. Your desire builds over time, and he can take you all the way to fruition. You just don't possess that physical desire ahead of time to be in the same place with him at the same time when you get started. This is actually really normal. Like, no two people are in the, I mean, when you're young, oftentimes it's a little bit different, but like, it's very normal for people to be at different stages. And most females, the human body can take 10 to 30 minutes, somewhere in that range, to like fully get engaged and like prepared to receive penetration or any other type of intimacy. This is actually how your body is designed to be. And so it like isn't personal at all to him. Your body's behaving normally and you're in, right? Like, you are willing up front.
Yes.
And you are on board in the middle and like enthusiastic at the end. Is that?
Yes, exactly.
So I can't even emphasize enough. Is it Kirsten? Is it Kirsten? Kirsten?
Kirsten.
Kirsten, thank you. Kirsten, you said it so beautifully. Can you say it how you said it to me, to your husband?
I have. Like, we actually had a really good conversation just last night, which is why I jumped on this call.
And what's his response?
So we had the conversation, and although he understands, it's like he has physical desire, but when I don't meet that physical desire at the same time, then he's like, his desire decreases, and then he feels like he's putting me out, or he's forcing me. And none of that is true, but I'm just not sure how to communicate that. Just because we don't start at the same place doesn't mean we don't get there.
Yeah.
We don't end at the same place.
So, I mean, obviously another conversation, but I would love for you to email support or send me a message and ask coaches so I can give you some sort of scientific research-y, like just sort of so you can read and understand how normal this is, and then find your own way of supporting your husband and explaining to him that the reality of that and the not personalness of it.
Yeah, because it is not personal. It is not personal. Like the lady who was on the call on Sunday, you know, and I'm sorry, I've got a cold, so I'm all scratchy. You know, sex is like sometimes just one more thing. And I mean, let's be honest, sex doesn't take that long. Like, let's be real. It just doesn't. So there are certainly times that I'm just like, well, you know, what's a half an hour of my day, right? And I, since I've joined OBS, I've actually done a lot of thought work about one more thing. Because it is something that I enjoy. I just don't have.
Yeah, that upfront desire. That.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And that, it really is just so unbelievably normal, common. So many, I mean, I bet there's women on this call that are experiencing this same thing. This is not personal against your husband any more than when Valerie was asking about the erectile dysfunction being personal to her. The function of the human body is not something personal that we can control in that way. The only thing that I could offer you different than the types of conversation we're having would be like, if you have the desire to affect this a little, there are ways where you can kind of prime your own pump, kind of get yourself to a little heightened state, manually stimulating yourself, watching something, listening to something, de-stressing, like a, you know, shower, good music, sexy music. There are ways to kind of gear yourself up so that you're a little further along
than normal. Yeah.
Then and prepared, which for him would be like, she's desiring. Now,
yes.
You know, you're kind of preparing yourself, but his experience of it would be like, oh, she's closer to ready. Like she is desiring. So
yeah.
That is an option that you might explore to see if you can engage with yourself enough to just be a little bit further along. But honestly, I think the conversation about the truth of you and your body's function and the lack of personalness and like he's basically not related to it all is so valuable because it's who you are. So both things, I would experiment with both sides of this, but definitely message me and ask coaches or email support to my attention so I can give you a couple of resources that just talk about how the human bodies work differently. And the expectation that you're going to be on the same page as him is pretty unrealistic. And whether he accepts that or not, we don't have control over it, but you get to communicate your truth at the most pure spot. And then you also can work on seeing if you can kind of get a little closer to where he's at if you want to.
Thank you, Julie. That's actually, that's very helpful. And I'm a science geek, so send me as much sciencey stuff as you want to. That would be awesome.
Definitely reach out, okay? Because I have no way to reach you until you reach me. So, okay, I'm going to look for your email or a message and ask coaches.
And all right.
You are not alone. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thanks, Julie. You have a good night.
You too. Thank you. Well, that's it for tonight. Thank you all so much. I'm grateful for your willingness to share and be open and do this work with Coach Lisa and I. I hope you all have a lovely rest of your Friday evening, and I will see you next month. Bye. Thank you.